Neva asked us to pray for the people in Cheyenne Hospital, Marilyn Wilson, to get better, and Wayne Batterton has pneumonia. And then we want to continue to pray for Neva's brother, Dean. He's been transferred to a rehab hospital in Oklahoma City. He can't eat, talk, or walk, but he is able to communicate with a head shake. My aunt and uncle, his father passed away yesterday, so the family needs prayers for making all of the arrangements and for peace. And then Deanne Brazel had complications after her gallbladder surgery last week, so she's looking at another surgery this week.
Okay. Father God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, knowing, declaring, Lord God, that you are the healer. Father, that by the stripes of Christ, you have bought health and healing and wellness for us in our lives. Lord God, we just release the truth of your word over all of what we're about to pray, God, and we just come expecting, Father God, as your word says, Lord, that you have sent your word forth, that it will accomplish what it was sent forth to do, that it won't return to your void. We stand believing that. Lord, we pray for these folks in the Cheyenne Hospital, Marilyn Wilson, Wayne Batterson, Lord God. We just speak health and wellness and healing. God, let it rise up as a glorious testimony to you, God, to your goodness, to your strength. Father God, let it draw people to you. We just pray right now that where they're at in the position they're in, God, they would just begin to feel that healing coming over their bodies from the soles of their feet to the tops of their heads, Lord. Father God, we pray for Neva's brother, Dean. Father God, that's been transferred into this rehab. God, we just call his walking abilities, Father God, his ability to eat, that it would all come into line just like you created him, perfect and whole, just like you will see him and have him in the kingdom of heaven in eternity, Lord. We speak that over him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father God. And Lord, we pray for Kim, who lost Keith yesterday, Lord God. We just pray that you would surround her with comfort and peace, Lord. Your word declares that you're close to those who are broken and of a contrite spirit. Pray that you would send your people around about them, Lord God, that whole family, give them comfort and peace, Lord, people to minister to them, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray for DM this morning, who's had complications after her surgery, Father God, and they say in another surgery in a week. Lord, our prayer is there wouldn't have to be another surgery, God. We're just asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would cause this thing to subside right now, that healing would set in, Lord God. Father God, you would give those doctors wisdom. Do everything that you do, Lord. Defy the logic of man, God, and just bring your kingdom and bring health and life in that situation and all the others. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church at New Liberty is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. Gateway Church is located at 4772 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors and would love anyone to come just as you are. And that means you don't have to get clean and sober first. Because I am here to tell you today that the church is a hospital. It is a hospital for the spiritually sick and the physically sick. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you, go to church, find a church home, and join them for any of their services. You can follow them on Facebook at Gateway Church East City or on YouTube at Welcome to Gateway Church in Elk City, OK. Service times are Sunday morning. Hang on. OK. Morning worship is at 10:30. Spanish service is at 2, and Sunday evening is at 6. And those are all Sundays, y'all. And then Wednesday Bible study is at 7. And the Bible engagement has changed from Sunday morning at 9:45. It is now Wednesday at 6:30. If you have any questions, you can contact them at 580-225-4646. We are stronger together, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Get the sleepy out of my eye.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Barbadas and Ford of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at BarbadasandFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Jason Wilhelm. His title for today is Faith. Did I say your name right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. You sure did. Okay. Yeah. It's my whole life, though, you know, everybody, of course, it's W-I-L-H-E-L-M. My whole life, everybody, they'll always say, Wilhelm. Wilhelm, you know. So the meaning of our surname, Wilhelm, This is what it means. Strong-willed protectors.
Right on.
And so the will is the strong will, and the helm came from the word helmet.
Okay.
Strong-willed protector. Wilhelm, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You'll always remember it now, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, a little tidbit of useless information there. So we're talking about faith, and we've got up to the point that we have declared this truth. Faith. This is Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we just talked about the two different types of hearing. There's the hearing that they say it goes in one ear and right out the other. And then there's the hearing that it anchors to your heart. That's the hearing we're talking about right there. This faith, this persuasion, this conviction, this willingness to bet everything you are, have, or ever will have on what God has said to you in your life. He's given to you the measure of faith. That's what we just read. God has given to every man the measure of faith. He is patient with all, not willing that any should perish. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, this was already built into who you would be, this faith that God has given to not some men, every person that would ever live. We all have it, whether we choose it, whether we link up with it or not, that's another story. But he's given it to us. And Peter talks about that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That word knowledge means relationship. It doesn't mean book smarts. It doesn't mean studying this. Mm-hmm. Now listen, studying this is in that list in 2 Peter, yes. But he said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness according to our knowledge of by relationship, by him living in us. That's how we got it. It's the gift of God, this thing of faith. He goes on down there and then he says this: add, supply, multiply in your faith, by faith, all of these other things, the studying, do all of these things, add to your faith, by faith, exercise these things. It's like going to the gym. Everybody's got muscles, but you know, I mean, I've seen some people with muscles that I don't know if they could pick up a can tin of coffee, you know, so little small arms or whatever. So, but everybody has muscles to operate their skeleton. Hey, you can exercise those muscles and make them bigger. This is what Peter's talking about in that first chapter there, about adding to your faith. Exercise that faith in these ways and let this stuff grow. He said, if you'll do it, you'll never be short-sighted. You'll never fail, and an abundant entrance will be given, supplied to you into the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Two types of hearing, in one ear, out the other, and the one that anchors to the heart. And so listen, the type of hearing that we're talking about today is the instruction, namely of the gospel. Now, I'm not, when I'm talking about the gospel, I'm not talking about those four books with red letters. I'm talking about the good news of the kingdom. That's all Jesus preached, the good news of the kingdom. What's been given to you, that is where faith comes from, is the instruction. By hearing the instruction of God's good news to you in your life, whether you read it in this book and it resonated in you and resounded and amplified, that is building. That is faith increasing when that happens. You can read this word for 6 days and not get anything out of it. Or you can pick it up and open a page and read one line and be bawling. That is the revelation, the God-breathed illumination of the Spirit of God on His Word, bringing that to life in you. That is what builds faith. That is what builds faith. God's given us everything we need. He's equipped us in that. So it is the instruction of the gospel. It's hearing the instruction, the word of your Father in your heart, and having that come to life. That's God faith. Now, there's another kind of faith that has absolutely nothing to do with that faith. It's man faith. And that's what I was talking about earlier, about we tend to put our intellect and our stamp on something. We kind of believe it the way we believe it and see it the way we see it. This would be a good example. You go out, you get in your car. You might not know how it works, but you know when you put the key in the ignition and you turn that ignition, it's going to start. You can put it in gear and you can go. That's faith. Yeah, see, that's faith. But that's a man-made type of faith. But it's similar. It's similar to this pistis, this persuasion of God, but it's a whole different thing. Faith in the faith of the kingdom only comes as a gift of God, and it comes by hearing His word, His rhema, His logos. It comes by hearing the God-breathed revelation of His word in our lives. We will live under the persuasion of one or the other. The instruction of the gospel, the instruction of the King, the God-breathed word in our lives, or, this is man's faith, you're going to love this, hearsay, rumor, and gossip. Because everything that this world has to offer is hearsay, rumor, or gossip. Everything your Father has to offer is absolute 100%. Bet your life on truth. And if you're listening to that voice, I'm going to tell you what, your faith will always be increasing if you're listening to that voice. Always be increasing. If you're listening to that other voice, it's not going to work out. So we got to be careful not to impose man faith on the word. It'll become powerless if we stamp it with our what we think becomes powerless. The word of God has power. The word of God has power. I know every one of us as Christians believe that statement. We all believe it. The word of God has power. But if we're going to be completely honest, and we ought to be, right? Yeah. If we're going to be completely honest, we would say that our life, our church, our ministry, our family, our everyday walking around is void of the power that God wants the body of Christ to operate in. I mean, if we're going to be honest, I don't think that the full potential of what God is in me is happening. I'm after it. I want it. Like Paul said, pressing on, leaving that stuff behind. I haven't attained it, but I'm headed in that direction. But I think that's the case. We'd all say that. We'd all say that. So the Word of God has power. So there's four questions in this. What is the Word of God? It's not as simple as what one might think. What is it that gives it power? And what is that power able to do? And number four, how can I live in the exercise of that power? How can I live in that place? So I want to read this simple little story, and I'll be as quick as I can. Story we all know very well, and someone may be going, how in the world does this story apply to what you're telling? This is Luke. This is Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. And I think we'll go through 37 maybe. So here we go. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's a good place for an amen right there. Then Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I have not known a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and with the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, this little old story. Here comes the God-breathed revelation to Mary. All right? Here's Mary. She's engaged, but not married. Word says she's a virgin. And this angel shows up with the word of the Lord. And he says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she considered what manner of greeting it was. Then the angel goes on a little bit to say, listen, Mary's like, "What in the heck is going on? What are you doing, and what are you saying? This is a pretty odd thing." And then he says that, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Mary, what, can you imagine this? Now listen, this is the word of God. Look how much this defies logic. This is the word of God. Here you are, not married, you're a virgin, you're fixing to have a baby. He's going to be the savior of all mankind, the most holy one who would ever walk the earth. Conceived out of wedlock. Mary, can you imagine what Mary's thinking? You know, I'm going to be downright popular at the coffee shop on this deal. What's old Joe going to think about this happening to me? I mean, is he going to buy into it? God's word often completely and totally defies the logic of man. That's why we can never stamp this word with our intellect. It does not work. So he's given Mary all of these things, all of these, this stuff that he's pouring out to her. And Mary's like, wow, you know, wow. I don't know about it. And the angel's saying, "Hey, Mary, don't worry. Don't back up. Don't freak out. It's okay." And he just goes on telling her these things. And, well, how can this be? She begins to question it. Huh? How can this be? Now, I've not known a man. I'm not married. This can't happen, you know. And then the angel goes ahead and he gives her more stuff to think about. The angel is pouring all these things out on Mary, and Mary's just, she's just so troubled with it, not knowing how is this going to work. How is she, in the beginning, she's thinking through it as a human being. This book, the Word of God, is God-breathed, God-inspired, God-preserved, and Holy Spirit-illuminated. Mm-hmm. And all in those ways. The Word of God is the basis for all life, energy, and matter everywhere, and everything that does exist, will ever exist, has ever existed, is upheld by that Word. It holds all the power that there is to be had. God wields that Word to accomplish His will and do what He wants. That is how faith is born in us. The letter of this book can bring death. It can. It's perfect in every way, but the rebelliousness of our sinful nature, our old nature, will always cause it to bring death. Holy Spirit illumination, like I said earlier, without that, this is just, it's just a book. It's just a book. When we impose the sayings and teachings of this book out from under the Holy Spirit's influence of grace, man, we're putting a weight on us that's impossible to carry us. It's grace through faith, and this is what Mary is fixing to experience. Is grace through faith. It's the gift of God, the written or spoken on our hearts. And it is the power of His Word and not our own power or intellect that's able to perform what He has said. He has given us the measure of faith, that faith that comes by hearing. Here's Mary hearing this Word, that faith that comes by hearing. And I'd say this, you know, in our country, in America, we have had more of this book than any other country on the planet. We have had more of it than almost any other country on the planet. And to a large degree, we probably have the poorest expression of Christianity than a lot of other countries do. There are countries who have maybe a fraction of this book. They may have that much of it. The dead are being raised. The lame are walking. People are being healed left and right. People are receiving sight. There is people coming to the Lord by the droves. The kingdom of God is on display. But to a large degree, in this country, we have a poor expression of Christianity, poor expression of it. Before the Word was anything else, it was a person. It was Jesus, and the Word says that by Him all things were created. Without Him, nothing. There was nothing that was created that wasn't created without Him. It says that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mary, you see, Mary is the recipient of that, and as are we. When the angel came and he spoke that Word, there's a very powerful thing I didn't read right there on the end. We're going to get to that. Mary has her doubts, and then finally, what does Mary do? What does Mary do? The angel says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now, I don't want to blow your skirt up on this one either. if you have an Amplified Bible, the King James literally left out wording from the original manuscript. You believe that? They did. It's not a mistruth. It's absolutely true. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And the manuscript says this: every word of God will not be without power. Every word of God has power, is what it says. That's the original manuscript to the New Testament. Every word that God speaks has power. With God nothing will be impossible. If He says it, it's going to happen. This brought forth that God-given gift of persuasion. It was the revelation that stirred in her spirit. And Mary's response was this: "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary reached the place of not trying to figure it out on her own. She succumbed to the truth of the word. The word of God has power. In the beginning, in Genesis 1, God was there, right? He stepped out and He did something. I've thought about this. He could have He could have, I thought about, you know, you ever watch I Dream a Genie? He could have folded his arms together and went like this and made stuff start happening. He could have waved his hand and made stuff start happening. He could have kicked a rock and made stuff start happening. He could have acted like he formed it in his hand and threw it out there and it just happened. But what did he do? He spoke. Who was he speaking to? He spoke. And it happened. He spoke and it happened. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I want to show you how the faith of God defies the logic of man. When God says something, the circumstances absolutely do not matter. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. 3 days later, he made a source for the light. Mm-hmm. The sun, the moon, stars. God created light, then made the source for light. Mm-hmm. Human logic, this is why we need to stay away from trying to apply this word in the way we think it should be applied. Human logic says, I'm going to build this ball, this sphere of radioactive material that will become a magma-covered planet that will shine forth and give me light. Then I'll turn it on when we need light. God said, light be. 3 days later, he said, sun, come to give the light.
Come on.
That is the power of his word. Mm-hmm. What he spoke into Mary, Mary was impregnated with the seed of God. At that very moment, she was impregnated with the seed of God. This is what happened to you in salvation. We were impregnated with the seed of God. The word declares in Luke 8:11 that the seed is the word of God. That seed is the cultivator and producer of this gift of faith in our lives. It is what he has to say about you at a very specific given time. He's saying something right now about you, saying something over you, to you. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. And that faith comes from the revelation, from hearing his word, the revelation, and it holds the power to perform what he said it would. The word has now become a person. He's now become a person. And we beheld the word. We beheld the word as the only begotten of the Son. We beheld him. He was just a baby. They had to change his diapers. They had to feed him. They had to teach him. They had to give him a craft. They had to, you know, he was just a baby. This is the seed of God, this powerful seed of God, 33 years later. What did he do? He stepped out. And he could have went like this, and he could have thrown things out there to happen. But what did he do? He began to speak. And what he began about, his words had power. Mm-hmm. And they began to change everything around him. Everything on this planet, they began to change. It was the message of God revelation. How Mary got pregnant, how we got to salvation, how we become who it is that God wants us to be is by that word. Be it unto me according to your word. So I want to tell you this. I want to encourage you in faith today in this way. Whatever situation you're dealing with, I want to encourage you to lift these words to the Father. Father, be it unto me according to your word. And then ask him, speak to me what that is about this situation. Don't form your own opinion on what needs to happen because your father knows best, right? The old TV series. This is the last thing. I don't know how much time we have. Okay. So this is the last thing that I'm going to talk about in this. This is the culmination of the be it unto me, and I'll give you the, let's see if I have it. Yeah. Luke 20:23-43 be the story there. Be it unto me according to your word. You see, the word of God is perfect and infallible, right? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. The problem is we've taken that word and we've built denominations and doctrines, and that's what we do when we put our intellect on it. Instead of being like old Peter in the book of Acts, I brought you the whole council. I didn't leave anything out. There ain't no denomination, no division, no, it's, this is the word of God. It's all of it. Every little bit of it. That's it. The word of God is infallible, but it's our interpretation of it that becomes infallible. So get that off. Let's get our minds off of our handprint on the word. It's his, right? Yeah. Let him do and say what he wants to do. I'm going to give you a perfect example. We have, and when I say the church, I'm including me in that because we're part of the church, right? But we have churches that believe this or believe that, or you have to be baptized in our church or you don't get into the heaven, or you do this or that, you got to do this. Yeah. All these different things and thoughts, and I'm not beating up on anybody. I'm just saying, let God be God. Let him establish the truth in our lives that he wants to establish. There's this story in Luke, and Jesus is on the cross, right? And now this is a mind-boggling to some church doctrines. This guy, this thief hanging on the cross beside him, and he says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, I tell you that he said, verily I say unto you. And every time, Jesus is the only one recorded in the Bible who ever said, verily I say unto you. And what it literally means is this: listen up, I've got something really important to say. Listen close. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. He said, listen really close. Put your heart in it. I got something important to tell you. You will be with me today in paradise. And that word paradise, it was a Persian word that meant walking in the king's garden. Just like Adam and Eve, you'll be with me walking in the king's garden today. So this guy, this thief, he dies and he ends up in heaven. And so, you know, the angel gatekeeper, he's there. This guy walks through and he's like, hey, I know you. How in the world did you get here? And this guy's like, I don't know. I don't know. How did you get here? I can't tell you. I don't know. I just woke up and I'm here. Well, did you get baptized? No, I don't know what you're talking about. What's that? Well, what about the documents of faith? Did you observe them and walk by that? What? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, how did you get here? Well, the guy on the middle cross said I could come, and here I am. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks or how we put our stamp on this word. What matters is what God breathes, says, and does with you. That is the truth. Be it unto me, Father, according to what you have to say. That is faith in power and action in your life. When you get to the point Mary got to, Lord, whatever it is you say, get it on. Let's do it. And that's it. So, Father, I praise you, God, and thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I ask that you would wash us completely, renewing our minds by what it is you have to say. Father, we choose to open our hearts, our minds, our ears to you, to your voice, and we invite you to do whatever it is you want to do. Speak that to us, God, in a way that we can't miss it. Let the God-breathed revelation of your word become the power of life that flows through us so that the whole world will see the Father in us. God, draw all men to you. We honor you, bless you, and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before we completely end and you turn your mic off, would you be so kind as to share the information about your church location, service times, and whatever else you would like to share?
Yeah, so our church is Community Connection Fellowship. It's at 1424 South Simpson here in Elk City. And we our services are at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings. We help with ministry in some other churches and stuff. God's made us a church of churches, so we kind of help with some ministry in some other churches on Sunday mornings. We do our services on Sunday evenings. So, I'd love to have you.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother and pastor, Jason Wilhelm, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.